Well, everybody, welcome to episode 316 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to our good friends at Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. When it comes to real estate, experience matters. At Legacy Realty, we pride ourselves on having one of the largest and most experienced teams in Ankeny with over 75 agents strong. As one of the top brokerages in the metro, our local agents bring unparalleled knowledge of the market to help you make the best decisions for your home sale or purchase. Whether you're buying your first home, upgrading, or looking to sell, our team is ready to provide expert guidance every step of the way. Backed by the national strength of LPT Realty, we offer cutting-edge tools and marketing strategies to ensure your success. Legacy Realty of Iowa, your trusted partner for buying or selling in Central Iowa. All right, well, we're going to talk a lot of boys golf today, but first we're going to talk some real estate. My first guest is a realtor at Legacy Realty, and she's been a frequent guest on the podcast. She is Rhonda Dix. Rhonda, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking again.
We haven't seen you since May. You know, how's your summer? It feels like summer today.
It feels like we got a summer. I think it was here and gone, and fast forward to fall. So yeah, days just keep going faster and faster, but obviously, we're entering into an exciting time. I'm a college football fanatic, too, so I'm ready for the change of season, and, you know, we're starting to see that excitement also in the real estate market.
Well, was it a busy summer for you work-wise? I would think that would be a busy time of year for you.
You know, it was interesting. Not as busy as we had hoped. I think there's a lot of people still sitting on the sidelines. You know, they're waiting to get in the game, if we can say that. You know, everyone's waiting for lower interest rates, can't decide. You know, they were prioritizing family and vacations, and as we're watching the industry inventory build and build and build, sales were down almost 10% over last month, and we've got new statistics coming out for August, but June versus July we were down almost 10% in sales. So a little interesting, but again, I guess if you've been in the market for a number of years, it's more of a normal market. It's not as fast moving as, you know, the pandemic or pre-pandemic, you know, markets that people were got so used to or accustomed to. So just kind of getting back to the normal, and now people are starting to think holidays, and now that kids are back in school and routines have started, you know, they're trying to, like you said, you know, make their next move or make their plan, and hopefully maybe be in that next home before the holidays.
Well, I had Amy Wiedern on the podcast last week, and she mentioned that the rates had come down, or she was expecting maybe them to come down a little bit more. Is that right?
They did. Last week, we saw them below 6%, and that was the first time since the second quarter of 2023, which, hey, I mean, we'll take something for sure. And I know they keep talking about, you know, maybe some additional cuts after seeing some of the labor numbers come in and those reports not being as great as they had hoped to be. But again, it's just important to plan. I think so many people wait and wait and wait, and then think, boom, the minute that changes, that they're going to be able to act. But if they haven't been in to see their lender professional and have their pre-approval letter, you know, they might miss the boat, because I think there's going to be a lot of people competing. And again, even with inventory rates starting to build up, there's still going to be some of those price points that are going to be competitive. So again, really having your ducks in a row.
We talk about people needing to get pre-approved. You know, how quickly can that process happen generally?
Very quickly. You know, we can always, you know, refer somebody to, but I always tell people to start with, you know, maybe who they bank with locally, as long as they have a mortgage department. I mean, they're going to answer some basic questions. They can do that very easily online, you know, maybe less than an hour or even and quicker than that. And then that lender's going to follow up and ask some more detailed questions and gather that information that they're reporting. But yeah, pretty easy. I don't know why people are so scared of the process, or they're like, oh, I'm good. But I think really the important thing is seeing what that payment looks like. I think people are so stuck on the interest rate itself, but they need to see what that looks like as a whole, you know, with their taxes and their insurance and all of those things. Because I think, you know, once you see that, even that slight drop last week that we were seeing was saving people, you know, almost $200 a month on a $400,000 payment, which that's a lot.
Oh, sure. Well, do you have any specific properties you want to talk about today?
Well, interesting. We have one market home left right now for MJ Properties. We have a beautiful two-story over near Centennial High School in Centennial Estates. That's a four-bedroom, two-story, 2,400 square feet, and then also has a finished basement. Even though we've, you know, kind of closed up or buttoned up our few market homes, shall we say, been busy behind the scenes with a number of people that are planning their spring builds. So currently working on bid pricing and then also taking meetings with those that are interested in seeing what that looks like next year.
We said that some people are doing their spring build. So is most of the building going on to the northeast part of town?
We're starting to see that ramp up, which is exciting to see. You know, anytime you have a new development that opens up, Pine Lake Estates, no one necessarily wants to be the first one in, but at the same time, if you drive through there right now, I think you'd be pleasantly surprised. I mean, there's a lot of new amenities that people have been anxiously waiting for. And yeah, that's coming together really nicely.
All right, Rhonda, if anybody wants to get a hold of you and has any questions about the industry, where can they reach you at?
They can find me here in Ankeny at LPT Realty. My number, 515-975-3735.
All right, Rhonda, thanks for coming in again.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. All right, we're going to focus on boys golf today. I'm joined by both head coaches of the two Ankeny programs. To my left is the coach of the Ankeny Centennial team, and his Jaguars are currently ranked 13th among all teams in the state with a 305 average. He is Andrew Reedy. Coach, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Good, thanks for having me, Dan.
You bet. To my right is the head coach of the Ankeny team, and his squad is fresh off a meet today at Otter Creek against Johnston and Southeast Polk, so we're certainly going to dive into that right away. He is Mike Weddingfield. Coach, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, as always.
You bet. I'm just going to bounce some questions back and forth between the two of you. Like I just mentioned, Mike, you guys had a meet on your home course today, and I just had a brief chance to take a look at those results. You guys had a good day.
We did. We had a really good day. 292, I'll take that any time. One of the best scores we've had, obviously, this year. And, you know, coming off Monday over at Urbandale, we didn't play well, shot 323 or something. So, huge improvement. But it was a beautiful day. The golf course was in great shape. Couldn't ask for a better day. So, happy to get those scores down. Need to be shooting more.
And, Andrew, you guys are in the midst of a rare week off from competition. Now, I don't know if that was the way that you planned your schedule or just happened that way, but has it given your team a chance to work on some of the little things?
Yeah, absolutely. We got three events in before school started, and I think this is a result of that. You know, the kids miss a lot of school from golf, so the athletic department got us to get a few in before school started. So, yeah, it's been nice to have 6-7 days to just focus on practice.
Well, before we look ahead to the rest of the season, I want to recap what has happened already a little bit. Both of your teams have had some ups and downs, but I know the goal is to peak here over the next few weeks before you get into the championship season. Andrew, do you feel like your team, you know, is making some progress as far as getting to where you want to be?
Yeah, definitely. Right before the break here, we had a couple of outings that I was happier with, and some kids were playing some better golf. We had a Fort Dodge, Kenneth Nelson shot 70 and one under par. It was his first time ever shooting under par. Colby Zinn shot 74 that day. And then McCoy, who's been solid all year long, has a bad day that day. And if he hadn't, we really would have competed probably for, you know, top three there. So, and then, you know, with a week or so to just practice, I think, you know, having some good results heading into that was really nice.
And Mike, you mentioned, you know, the Monday you guys didn't play your best there at the Urbandale Golf and Country Club, where you did shoot a 323, which was your second worst score of the season. Obviously, today was a big step in the right direction, but it's still a work in progress, isn't it?
It is. You know, you always expect to shoot better on your home golf course. You're familiar with it. You're comfortable there. I don't think any of the kids that played Urbandale Golf and Country Club, but that's what we just talked about, though, is today was our last home meet. The rest of the season's on the road. So we have to learn how to play our best golf on the road on unfamiliar golf courses, I guess. Otherwise, you know, we're going to be done early with the season because we're done playing at Otter. So figuring out how to do that and then our consistency. Obviously, we have kids that can go low. You know, Gavin shot 68 today, 300 par. Got a couple guys, you know, 74, 75. And to hit like today all on the same day, that's what we're going to have to do when we get to districts, no matter where they send us. But it's just nice to know that the kids are capable of that for me as a coach and for them and their confidence. So it was a good day for us.
And Andrew, your team has managed to break 300 three times, and you also shot 300 and a 301 in two other meets. So you guys have been pretty consistent. You're coming off a fifth place finish in the Ankeny Invite on September 3rd at Otter Creek, where you shot a 297. You're only three shots out of second place. You know, you guys have shown at times that you can play with some of the best teams in the state, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that day at the Ankeny Invite, we finished, we put the last two holes as a team 7 over par that day. you know, that's going to happen, but we can just finish a little bit stronger. Again, like I said, we would have been right there. So definitely encouraging to see, have the kids see, hey, we can compete, we can be right there. And gives them some belief and some confidence in the vision of, you know, continuing into the postseason.
And Mike, your team shot a 310 at your home invite. One day you shot a 303 at the Fort Dodge invite, which was your best score of the season up until today. And that allowed you to place fourth at that meet. And you also finished just two strokes behind the Jaguars at that meet, which was the closest you'd, you know, been to them all season. You know, I'm sure going in today, you know, you felt like you guys had a chance to break the 300 mark at some point. I had to feel good to finally accomplish that.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, we have guys that are capable of going low. It's just we've had, you know, one guy do it. In the previous meets, you know, shoot a 73 or whatever, and then some 78, 79s. But to have all 6-7 guys, because we had some of our JV guys too, play really well. All those guys competing for those varsity spots shot really well today. And so it just makes my job more difficult. Elliot McCose played JV today, and he goes out and shoots 7-5. Mm-hmm. You know, wouldn't have changed our score, but that's where we're at. And Andrew's shaking his head like, I know you're paid, because you pick it, and then it's always the wrong pick, and then you look, you know, like you don't know what you're doing. But it's good to see that those guys are battling. I think if you feel comfortable with your spot, sometimes you let up on your practicing a little bit and your intensity. And so to move those guys around, and I think to keep them sharp and keep them saying, hey, I got to work my butt off for that position, I think is a good thing.
Well, both of your teams, of course, have already played many of the best squads in the state. The CIML Conference currently boasts four of the top five teams in the state. Dallin Catholic is ranked second, followed by Waukee Northwest, Johnston, and Valley. The Dragons have won two of the last three state titles, sandwiched around a championship that was won by Valley. Now, Mike, you just got another look at Johnston today. They shot 282. Do you think the Dragons are a threat to win state again, or do you think, you know, Dallin or Northwest, you know, could be there as well?
I think it's going to come down to whoever gets hot on that. Those 2 days to stay, they're at districts. I mean, they all can go low. Braden Nelson, I've seen, you know, shoot 900 par with a triple bogey. Johansson goes 600 today on a great day. CT Norris, you know, shoots under par, you know.
Jonathan Moore.
I mean, just keep naming the names, and the kids can shoot that. And if they all get hot on the same day, it could be a shootout. I mean, it could be one of the best state tournaments, district sites that you see in a long time. And the scores are just amazing. Like I said, they just keep getting, we shot 292, which back in the day would kill everybody. And we got beat by 10 strokes. You know, it's just amazing. So.
And Andrew, your team has had some good battles with some of those squads already. You finished just five strokes behind Northwest in a meet at Copper Creek on August 26th. And you were just three strokes behind Dowling at the Yankee Invite. You know, do you feel like any of those teams is stronger than the rest? Or like Mike said, do you think it's just kind of a crapshoot?
Yeah. I mean, I think like Mike's saying, it's just going to depend on who, you know, comes together and gets four guys to play well at the same time. And all those teams are capable of it. And I think both of our teams are capable of it, too, to get into the postseason. And, you know, the one thing I would say is the teams over in the eastern part of the state, we don't see them ever, but there's good teams over there, too. So, you know, Pleasant Valley is a team that, you know, puts up a lot of good scores. And, you know, North Scott's another one that's ranked up there pretty high, I think. So there's just a lot of talent in the state and in junior golf right now. So.
All right, listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. Revive opened in 2017, is located on the south side of Ankeny near Hy-Vee. They provide top tier aesthetic procedures as well as dermatology. You can usually get a dermatology appointment the same day. Revive offers Botox, fillers, lasers, medical-grade skincare, weight loss injections, and cool sculpting. Revive loves Ankeny and is very supportive of this community. You can give them a call, 515-965-5677. Well, we're talking some golf today with coaches Andrew Reedy of Centennial and Mike Weddingfeld of Ankeny. Well, let's talk about some of your individual players now. Andrew, your team has been led by junior McCoy Miller. You mentioned him earlier. He currently ranks 10th in the entire state with a 72.3 average. He's already been a two-time medalist and a two-time runner-up. He shot a 67 at Willow Creek on August 20th, and then about a week later, he carved a 69 at the Waukee Northwest invite at the Legacy, where he then won a playoff to earn medalist honors. You know, he had a rare off day, which you mentioned there at the Fort Dodge invite, shooting an 82, but then he bounced back to place third at the Ankeny invite with a 69. You know, so what has been the key to his success this season?
Well, first of all, as much as I would like for him to only be a junior, so I'd have him next year. He is a senior.
Is that right?
Yeah. So, not to correct you, but.
No, I'm glad you did.
Like I said, I wish he was around for another year, but yeah, he's been great. And I'll tell you, when I took the job 2 years ago, people were telling me about him and how hard he worked. And so his success is not a surprise to me, you know, and it never is when a kid has the success, it's only because they've worked really hard. And that's what he's done. He, you know, hits the ball really far. So when he's got control of that driver, it puts him in some spots to really shoot some low scores. And he's done a good job of that, you know, this season so far.
And Mike, your team has been led by senior Gavin Ross. He is a senior, right?
Yes.
Well, he was one of only two returning varsity players for you this season. You mentioned that he had the 68 today. He tied for 27th place in last year's Class 4A state meet to help you guys to an 8th place finish. And prior to today, he led your team with a 78.7 average. So that's obviously going to come down. He had his best round earlier in the season at the Yankee Invite, where he placed 9th with a 72. And then he followed that up with a 76 on Monday at Urbandale before the great round they had today. You know, do you feel like he's embraced the role of being a leader for the team?
I do. And the last few weeks, you know, he's been playing good golf. And the hard thing, if you look at their score at the end of the day, you don't see that they played 17 really good holes or 16 super holes, or they had one bad swing that cost them out of bounds, which is basically a two-stroke penalty. So he had a little bit of those, just one or two bad holes. We've been talking the last few days about finishing, not thinking about your final score, you know, not talking about, okay, if I just par out, I shoot this, but focusing on what's my next shot, because that's what all you can really control is the shot you have in front of you. And he did a really good job of that today, I think. He kept his emotions under check. Sometimes Coach Ingham noticed that, you know, he wanted to get kind of antsy and want to get the round over and post that score, and he kind of speeded up a little bit. And so we just worked on staying calm, staying in the moment, focus on the next shot and not thinking about the score at the end of your round. And obviously it worked today, and so hopefully that's something he learned from. And we've been working that with all the guys, but it's a tricky thing to do. And as the kids mature, I've had a lot of kids that become really, really good golfers after their high school career, and I think that's that maturity level. You learn how to handle your emotions and control those things, and that's tough to do sometimes as a teenager.
And Andrew, you've had some other individuals who have shined as well. Tiernan Logan is second on your team with a 78.4 average. He shot a 73 in the season opener at Terrace Hills. Kenick Nelson has really come on as of late. You mentioned him. He's third on the squad with a 78.7 average. And like you said, he was the runner-up at the Fort Dodge Invite with a 70. You know, he really stepped up that day when McCoy struggled, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. You know, Kinnick is a basketball player too, and in summertime he plays basketball as well, and certainly worked on his golf game and played some events in that. But I think it's been really good for him to, you know, be able to focus on golf here for the entire fall and practice every day in that. And I just see him continue to get better, and it's fun to watch. So.
And Mike, your other returning varsity regular this season is Ryan Constable. He entered today second on your team with an 80.4 average. I think he shot a 74 today. Is that right?
Yes.
And his best round came at the Fort Dodge Invite, where he placed 6th to 73. He was obviously shown that he's capable of shooting a score like that. And if he could do that consistently, you know, that'd really help your team score, wouldn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Again, the same thing. Ryan plays really solid golf. It's a swing here, a swing there, you know, a bad shot here, a three putt there. It's those little things in golf that, to be a really good golfer, you have to get rid of those small mistakes, which is hard to do for anybody. And it's hard to do consistently, meet after meet, when you're playing on, you know, we play on Urbandale Country Club greens. We're nothing like Otter Creek's greens today. And the pros get to go out and play 3 or 4 days of practice rounds and get used to a course where we show up, tee off, and cross our fingers. So it's tough to be a high school golfer. And they're missing school. They're worried about their grades, hopefully. They're worried about stuff they got to make up at night and doing extra homework. So there's a lot going on that goes into it. But I just got a bunch of really great kids, and I'm sure Andrew does too, that they just like to work hard. They get along. We have good team bonding. So all those things that you'd love to see, that I think, whether we win a state championship or not, they're a good group of boys.
Well, you talked about this earlier, but both of you have made some changes in your lineup during the first half of the season as you searched for that right combination of guys. Andrew, you've had some players like Everett Bloyer, who shot 72 and placed 4th at the Jesse Peck Invitational on August 18th, but he has since fallen out of the varsity lineup. You know, you have some returning guys with varsity experience like Jackson Lewis and Jet Levon, but they have struggled to keep those spots as some other guys like Colby Zinn, Bennett Lewis, and Cade Miller have emerged. So the good news is that you have a lot of guys to choose from, but, you know, you're still trying to find that right six, aren't you?
Yeah, definitely still trying to find that right six. And you know, feel like we're settling into the lineup a little bit, but there's, you know, still six, seven, eight guys battling for those six spots, you know, and I won't be afraid to make a change there if I need to, or if I think that that's the best route to go. I always tell the guys, you know, my job is to put the six best guys on the golf course, and sometimes I'm going to be right, like Mike said, and sometimes I'm going to be wrong, and I guess that's just the burden of being the guy that makes those decisions. But
that's why we make the big bucks.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Well, Mike, you've made some changes too. You told me that you had three JV guys who shot scores on Monday that would have counted for varsity, and then today Elliot McCose, you know, shot 75 when he was playing JV. Do you think sometimes it's easier for the guys that they're playing on the JV, maybe they're a little looser and they don't feel any pressure and they can shoot a better score?
I do. I think that comes into it some. On the other hand, I hope that they're like, I'm playing JV today, I need to go out there and do my best and shoot a good score to get back to where I was. So I don't know what it is. It's just a combination. Again, it was a beautiful day. We're used to Otter Creek. The other day, you know, it was on a golf course we were unfamiliar with. And sometimes when things go bad, it just feels like a roller coaster, and it's hard to stop that. But again, like Andrew said, I feel like I could throw the names into a hat and pick them out sometimes better than me choosing, because you just don't know who's going to play well on a day. And you start out in par with birdie the first hole, it's a great day, or you make bogey or double, and it goes the other way. And so there's just so many factors that go into it. And dealing with high school kids is a different breed, but they're all good kids. And like I said, we're just trying to put the best team we can out there. And I don't play favorites. I wish I could have playoffs more often, but it's hard to find times to play 9 or 18 holes to have a playoff. So you're just trying to look at trends, look at averages, and hope.
Yeah, that's about all you can do. Well, both your teams will be back in action on Monday in the Turk Bowman Invitational at Vinker Golf Course in Ames. After that, you'll both have 3 or 4 meets left before the calendar turns to October. The conference meet will be held on October 1st at Beaver Creek. And then the district meets will be held at various sites around the state on October 6th. Now, Copper Creek is one of the district sites, as well as the Fort Dodge Country Club. You know, I know your teams are familiar a little bit with those two courses. And I don't know when you guys will find out where you're headed, but Andrew, you know, do you have a preference for where your team goes?
No, not really. I would say, you know, for proximity to home, Copper Creek's obviously the closest of them. I would say maybe that's the golf course that my team has struggled on most historically. So, what I will say is that I've been trying to get them to think about how to play golf courses, right? And so I think that that's going to be beneficial for them, whichever golf course that we get assigned to, thinking about managing the golf course and how to play the golf course. We'll actually go play. We're actually going this weekend to play one of them that's a potential district site, so that, you know, if we get assigned there, we'll have two looks at it before we play. So, and then we'll try to go to the other one later in the month. You know, Fort Dodge, we've already played, and Copper Creek, we'll play 3 times this year. So we don't need a practice round on Copper Creek, but Fort Dodge, we played the invite there. So we're fairly familiar with that. But the other two kids have never seen, so we're going to get over there and play.
And Mike, what about you? Do you have a preference? Your team had a pretty good round in Fort Dodge. Would you like to go there?
Yeah, we've been there all since. I'm very personally familiar with the golf course. But the kids haven't played there a ton. But because we played well there, I think it gives us some confidence. We're going to play Copper week after next over there, so we'll see how we do. But hopefully they send us to the golf course with the least amount of really good other teams. There's so many good teams in the state. It's just crazy. But yeah, no matter where we go, we'll try to prepare the best we can and get go see the golf course a few times. But there was a lot of years we went to Fort Dodge every year, and I think I said that last year that, well, this is where we'll go, and then they sent us to Ottumwa. So I don't know where we'll go this year, but I'm guessing it's one of those two spots.
Now, the state meet will be held on October 13th and 14th, and the association hasn't announced a site yet for the meet, right? Is that right?
Period.
Oh, this is going to be an under? Okay. I guess I looked for it. I couldn't find it. But
sure.
Lots of course, it's obviously close by, but I don't think you probably played there much, have you?
You know, I have a couple kids that are members there, but other than that, you know, a private facility, so getting access to that's a little difficult. But I think some of my kids have had the chance and the privilege to play there in the past. So.
All right. Well, I'm sure you feel like, you know, McCoy, if he can get to the meet, would be a contender for individual honors. I know you've told me after some of his best rounds this season that he still left a few shots out on the course. You know, if he's on top of his game, I mean, the sky is really the limit for him, isn't it?
Yeah. And I mean, that's a golfer's thing to say. They could, you know, when a guy shoots 59 on tour, I bet he talks about the putting miss on 14, you know, it could have been 58, but so there's always some of that, but I do think McCoy's still got some lower rounds in.
Well, you guys talked about some of the great individuals around here earlier. 8 of the top 11 individual golfers in the state are from the CIML. Jonathan Ward of Waukee leads the state with a 69.9 average right now. That's just ahead of Valley's Braden Nelson, who was the state runner-up 2 years ago. Andrew Johansson of Johnston is currently ranked 4th, and he's the defending state runner-up. You know, so it appears that several of those CIML golfers will be in the mix for medalist honors. Now, Mike, I mentioned that Gavin tied for 27th in last year's state meet. You know, with his experience, you know, the way he played today, you know, if he can get to the meet, you think he's a guy that can maybe place a lot higher than what his average would suggest right now?
I do. Like I said, you know, golf is kind of a cyclical thing. If you're playing really good, you kind of play good, and you hope to ride that as long as you can. Even the pros, nobody wins if the same guy doesn't win the same tournament every weekend. And so you want to hit that, your best, your peak at the right time of the year. And so Gavin's played a lot of golf, and he's a level-headed kid. And I think if he gets there and has a chance, you know, just like anybody else, you get hot on a day and the putts start dropping, anybody can go low. And so that's the fun part of golf. You kind of rely on yourself, and it's you against the golf course when it comes down to it. And you just do the best you do and keep your fingers crossed.
Well, we've only got a few more weeks left in the season. We'll be over here before we know it, and then it'll be almost winter time. So, but hey, thanks a lot for coming in today, guys. Appreciate it, and good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. When you work with Legacy Realty, you're not just getting one of the largest and most trusted real estate agencies in Ankeny, you're partnering with over 75 expert agents who are committed to your success. Whether you're searching for your dream home or selling your property for the best possible price, we offer the right tools, strategies, and support to help get you there. As part of LPT Realty, a national leader in the real estate industry, we combine local expertise with innovative resources to give you an unbeatable advantage. Choose us for unparalleled service, proven results, and a commitment to your success at every transaction. Legacy Realty of Iowa, where your real estate goals become a reality. Well, I want to thank my guests again for coming in today. We had boys golf coaches Andrew Reedy of Ankeny Centennial and Mike Weddingfeld of Ankeny, along with realtor Rhonda Dix. I appreciate the time from all of those folks. And come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. I think we'll be doing a preview of the Jaghawk football game.